Heavenly Lord, we pray for Pastor Ron, who is experiencing some kind of cardiac difficulty at the moment. We pray for your comfort, that you would give Pastor Ron the very real sense of your presence with him. We pray that you would give wisdom and help to any medical personnel who might be helping him, whether it's ambulance or emergency department. Please help Pastor Ron and Marge right now. And we just pray that you'd bring him through this. Bless this session on prayer. Lord, I think each one of us are here because prayer is sometimes mysterious, and we want to understand it more, and we want to be led by you. Please help us. Please guide us. Give us wisdom in your mind. Please enlighten the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our hearts. And Lord, we know that in moments of time and pockets of time, you teach us things. Sometimes we have the sense that we've gleaned one thing from a session or a meeting. And Lord, you know the way our minds work. You know how dull we can be and how slow of heart we can be. So help us to just give us some Velcro, Lord. Help something to stick that could really, really help us. Help us, Lord. You know what stirs up our minds. You know how easy it is for us to forget things and the devil to snatch things away. And lead us, Lord. We need your help. Please help us, Lord, and please lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 69 and verse 13. Oh, it's great to see everybody. I'm so blessed to be in front of this group of people. Really, it's great to see everyone. Psalm 69, verse 13. Psalm 69 is one of those intense psalms. Like if you read the first verse, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck." And the King James says, "For the waters have come into my soul." And then in the next verse, "I sink in deep mire." So things aren't going well. The psalmist is definitely having a hard time. It's a psalm of David. But when we get to verse 13, and that's the verse I just like to concentrate on, "But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation." I've been going through the Psalms for the past, maybe it's been a year and a half. I think I started not this past Christmas, but the Christmas before. And Psalm 69 is where I've gotten to so far. And when I was asked if I would share some practical points on prayer, this is the psalm I had been reading. And this verse 13, as well as verse 16, are the ones that had kind of remained with me and kept coming back. So I thought I'd begin with this verse, and then we'll just take it from there and see where God leads us. Is that okay? Okay. "But as for me," that's the first little bit I wanted to concentrate on. "But as for me," I thought about what that means, "but as for me." It could mean, despite everything else that's happening, this is what I've decided. And it also made me think of the expression, "be that as it may." And I thought of it because since Christianity is a religion of the heart, and of course we know it's not a religion, but when we're comparing it to world religions, and we don't have to pray to remain in our position with God, we often don't pray, or pray very little. Unlike a religion where if one doesn't pray, they're out. Does that make sense? And I think someone's calling. Oh, excuse me. Oh. Maybe it was God. working through his servant, who's my mom. What's my mom calling? Mom, I'll call you right back. In the chapel at my place of work where I often pray, and I've shared these stories before, they're kind of funny to me. I'm sometimes sitting in there. It's a room very much like this, very uninspiring chapel. There's no stained glass. There's no cross. It's very like uni faith, you know? But it's kind of like the Muslims praying there, the Muslims praying there, the Muslims praying there, the Muslims praying there, and I'm there. So there was this, I shared this for an offering a couple of years ago. There's this one man, I thought he was the chaplain. He looked very wise, and he always had his book, and he was always just really just like writing in the book, and he seemed to be reading. And I always felt, at least I have a kindred spirit with this guy. And it kind of blessed me that he was there. Until one day I got a little closer and I realized it was just a guy who does crossword puzzles. He found a quiet place. He comes to the chapel to do his crossword puzzles. And then there was this other guy with whom I felt I had a kindred spirit because he was the other Christian. And I think he had a rosary and I figured he was Catholic. And, you know, at least we shared the same, you know, fear of God, respect for Jesus Christ. And I asked him probably 2 months ago. His name is George. I said, George, what is your story and your faith? And he said something like Cuban folk religion, which is like really a mixture of like voodoo and Catholicism. And I'm like, oh, great. My two prayer partners are the crossword puzzle composing airhead pseudo chaplain and the Cuban semi-voodoo, you know, half-Catholic medical technician guy. And I thought, well, we're not doing so well here, the Christian faith. And once again, this chapel is very uninspiring. I've noticed that when people wheel patients in, they stand there for about two minutes with a glazed over expression on their face because there's really nothing inspiring to look at except some sort of Persian-looking, you know, vague art on the wall, and then they leave. So I feel very alone sometimes when I'm praying, and I often think like, wow, no one's praying. Of course, that's just my little experience in my hospital where I work. But how many feel that way sometimes in your heart? Like there's some prayer, but maybe there could be a lot more. And maybe we could understand it a lot more. But as for me, be that as it may, I'm going to pray. And I thought of the reasons we don't pray. Luke 10:42. We could say there's so much to do, but Jesus said to Mary, remember? Actually, he said it to Martha about Mary. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Another excuse, what if I miss something? Do you ever feel like that when you go to God in prayer? What if I'm missing something at this very moment? I think we are plagued by the what if I miss something mentality in this generation due to telephones and instant news. There was a time many of us in this room remember when the news was a few times a day. There was the morning news while people were getting ready for school or work. I think there was afternoon news. There was evening news. Might be late night news. And now to have constant news moment by moment by moment has created this bizarre, insatiable need of information. And I think many people who've become addicted to their news sources have a very hard time in prayer. Because what if something just happened and I didn't know about it? It reminded me of Acts 17, verse 21. Remember the people on Mars Hill, the Athenians? It says here that they spent their time in nothing else but either to hear or to tell some new thing. Hearing news and telling. Facebook status. It's time to approach the Lord in prayer. But I forgot to tell the world that I just had veal parmesan for lunch. That could be a problem for some people who are constantly telling, hearing and telling some new thing. Psalm 46:10.
What if I get bored?
That could be the end of the world. What if it's time to approach God in prayer and I get bored? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. But no one else is praying. That's sometimes my feeling at work. I've already expressed that. Luke 18, verse 8. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? But as for me, be that as it may, despite all these excuses and despite everything that seems impossible, I have a choice to make and a decision. I'm going to pray. Next part of the verse, Psalm 69, verse 13. My prayer is to you, O Lord. That's a great question, isn't it? To whom are we praying? To God Almighty. Prayer is an audience with the Most High. It can also be a private audience with the Most High. That's an amazing privilege, isn't it? To whom do we pray? We pray to the Lord, the most powerful monarch in the universe. Here's a quote by Ravi Zacharias. Prayer is a constant reminder that we are not autonomous. Prayer in its most basic form is the surging of the human spirit in its weakness, grasping at the Spirit of God in His strength. Sometimes mere words cannot give shape to the longing of the heart. Prayer, then, is a reminder that God is transcendent, all-powerful, and personal. I love that. We are not autonomous. We're not alone. Prayer is the surging of the human spirit in its weakness, grasping at the Spirit of God in His strength. God is not fickle. He's the Father of lights in James, in whom there is no variableness, no variation, no shadow of turning. God is constant. We have a private audience with the monarch, chief monarch of the universe, in whom there is no shadow of turning. He has not changed. But my prayer is to you, O Lord. And the acceptable time, Psalm 69:13 again, the acceptable time. It reminded me of Ephesians 3, in whom we have, I think it's verse 11 or 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. I always think of that, B-A-C, boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Also Hebrews 4:16, we come boldly to the throne of grace, to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. The Living Bible says, you know, it's a paraphrase. It says, now is the time. And an acceptable time, we come to God. Now is the time. And then the next part of the verse says, oh God, hear me in the truth of your, in the multitude of your mercy, with a massive amount of mercy, we come to God in prayer. Oh God, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Have you ever come to God in prayer and you were reminded of your guilt? Have you ever been deterred from praying because of your feeling of inadequacy to approach God? A condemnation? Really, a satanic suggestion could be another way of saying it, couldn't it? Hear me in the truth of your salvation. Hear me in the truth of the gospel. I love to think of this when I come to God in prayer. The wrath of God has been deflected off me because of the blood of Christ. And now there is no wrath on me. I'm rendered acceptable, as are my prayers. Of course, if there's any known iniquity in our hearts, when we come to God, this is a beautiful time of confession. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Later on in the psalm. But Romans 5:9 says, much more then, having been now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I love to think of that. The wrath of God pouring down upon me almost, but there's a shield. It's the blood of Christ. That wrath is deflected off the shield. It ricochets off away from me. My prayers are acceptable to God. Did anyone ever see the old Walt Disney Sleeping Beauty? When that evil witch or queen, whatever she is, turns into a dragon. This big, ugly dragon. And it breathes fire on the prince. And he's trying to save Sleeping Beauty. And there's this forest of thorns. He holds up the shield. And it just kind of ricochets off the shield. That's what the blood of Christ does. And we come to God. And our prayers are acceptable. And it's because there's a massive amount of mercy. A heap full of mercy. And those mercies are new every morning. That's why I love the way it's put here. And the multitude of your mercy. Hear me, Lord, in the truth of your salvation. In everything that your salvation means, because of all the mercy and all the grace, and because I've been rendered somehow acceptable by your grace, I come to you. Lord, hear my prayer. Here's a beautiful promise in John 15. If you abide in me and my words abide, remain in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done to you. I'm sure many in this room have discovered the beautiful connection between the word of God and prayer. I find that when I pray without the word of God, my prayers can get subjective and off course. I find that when I read the Word of God a lot without prayer, it can get dry, like Rice Krispies with no milk. There's no snap, crackle, pop, right? There's this beautiful connection between the two. I know when I pray, when I go to take a prayer walk, how many take prayer walks? For me, it's my all-time favorite way to pray. I think it's because the blood sugar is doing something. The blood is moving. I'm able to concentrate. I know other people who say when they take a prayer walk, they just start looking at scenery and really have a hard time. They see the kitty and, you know, those bushes. Oh my gosh, the Jones have a new cypress tree. That's amazing. You know, it's really hard. For me, it helps because I'm moving. I know another person, their best place to pray is in bed. They really, that's like their prayer closet, and they pray and they're very serious about it. I fall asleep within moments. It's like a sweet hour of prayer is more like sweet snoring. It's not the best place for me to pray. But in Norway, about, let's see, 7 or 8 years ago, I got this weird sickness. We had been in Finland at a conference and, we had just gotten to Norway, and my joints swelled up, and I had spots on me. And I went to the pharmacy, and they looked at me like, oh, what's that? It wasn't chicken pox. I don't know what it was. It lasted 10 days. And I remember my son was like, he was really young, and I was trying to carry him up the stairs, and I felt like Herman Munster from the old, you know, 1960s Munster show. And So I wasn't well. But somehow with jet lag, I woke up every morning at 6 o'clock, and I thought, well, I'm really incapacitated. I can't do my glorious prayer walks. So I'm just going to write prayers down on this little notebook. And I did that, like, every morning. I'd wake up and have maybe, I don't know, half an hour or 20 minutes and just go through this little list. And God answered this prayer from that week in Norway or 2 weeks or whatever it was, like 3 months later, and I was baffled that God took those prayers seriously because it wasn't the most unexalted prayer time. It was like robotic prayers, but I knew I had to do it because God was in it and he calls us to pray. So sometimes God is in those times. I think God is very much in those times when we're at wit's end, but we draw near to him by faith. Trust in him at all times. Psalm 62. Pour out your hearts before him. Isn't that a beautiful verse? God is a refuge for us. Psalm 62. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your hearts before him. That word pour out is spread out like spreading peanut butter or Nutella on a slice of toast. Like, pour out your heart before him. No holds barred. Has anyone ever had one of those, like, psalm-like complaint sessions with God where you just pour out your complaints? I have those all the time. Everything I don't get, everything that's driving me crazy, the longings of my heart, we just pour out our hearts before God. It's so much nicer than complaining to our friend. Because Jesus Christ is our friend. God is listening. He loves us. Pour out your heart before him. Spread out the Nutella. Spread out the peanut butter on the piece of toast. Spread out your tapenade. Spread out your peanut butter fluff sandwich. Just spread it all out so it can all be seen. Remember, there's no creature. Let's see. All things are naked and open before him with whom we have to do, right? Nothing is invisible. Hebrews 4 and verse 13. Pour out your hearts before him. Hear me in the truth of your salvation. Hear me based on my full acceptance because of the way, new and living way, opened up to me by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, brethren, this is Hebrews 10, 19 and 20, having boldness to enter the holiest, the holy of holies, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. We learn to pray by praying with others. Has anyone noticed that? We learn to pray by praying with others. I'm not a very good skier, but years ago, when I was living in France, I started skiing with a good skier. I would just kind of follow him, and he was kind enough to slow down a little. And I made incredible improvement by just going beyond my natural abilities and just skiing with someone who knew how to ski. It's great to pray with people who know how to pray and to listen to the way they pray. I remember 5:30 a.m. prayer meetings with Pastor John Palmer when I was a teenager back in Wilmington. Kathy McCory's here. We're from the same church. I remember my brother and I getting our mother to drive us before school to these 5:30 a.m. prayer meetings and listening to him pray. And I know it had a huge effect on my brother and me. As far as our lives now, prayer, learning to pray is an amazing thing. We learn to pray with others. Lana, isn't that a song? When you got a prayer chain going, right? A prayer chain, praying with others. I love that song. Postures in prayer. I just wrote down this little list. Standing, Genesis 24, 12 to 14. This is just a list I found. I did a search, but you might want to write it down and then maybe look up these verses later for your enjoyment and edification. Lifting of the hands, 1 Timothy 2:8. Sitting, Judges 20, verse 26. Kneeling, Mark 1:40, looking upward, John 17:1, bowing down, Exodus 34:8. Has anyone ever prayed like, oh, here's another one, placing the head between the knees, 1 Kings 18:42, and pounding of the breast, Luke 18:13, and Daniel facing the temple, Daniel 6:10. Has anyone ever prayed like this?
Prostrate.
Let angels prostrate fall. Remember the hymn? Bring forth the royal. That's what it is. I mean, it's like I had one of those prayers once. I begged God for a new job. I did. I think it was 2002. I was living in Carol Damaris. We were living in Carol Damaris' attic apartment, and I was at the end of my rope with this very robotic boss. And her motto was zero defect. Can you imagine? Anyway, it was quite intense. She was very machine-like, and I thought, like, this is over. I was like prostrate praying. God came through, and that's another story. He really did. False religion places a premium on external behavior. True Christianity, as said before, is concerned with the heart. A true prayer is characterized by an attitude of humility before God. A true prayer is characterized by an attitude of humility before God. It has nothing to do with position. In a sense, whatever works. But a true prayer is characterized by an attitude of humility toward God. Here's a quote by Ravi Zacharias again. I think the reason we sometimes have the false sense that God is so far away is because that is where we have put him. We have kept him at a distance. And then, when we are in need, we call on him in prayer and wonder where he is. He is exactly where we left him. I like that because it reminds me that God is close. He could not be closer. Acts 17:27, again on Mars Hill. Remember, Paul said when he was speaking with the Athenians who were idolaters, he is not far from each one of us. And sometimes it seems when we draw near to God in prayer that he's very far and we kind of have to bring him closer somehow through our effort or through our spirituality, somehow attract the Lord. But he couldn't be closer. He's very, very close. Romans 10:6-8. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead? But what does it say? What does this righteousness say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and your heart. It's a private audience with God, and we're fully accepted by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you mind another quote? All right, here's another quote. C.S. Lewis. I love this one. It really encourages me. What seem our worst prayers may really be, in God's eyes, our best. Those, I mean, which are least supported by devotional feeling. For these may come from a deeper level than feeling. God sometimes seems to speak to us most intimately when he catches us, as it were, off our guard. What seem our worst prayers may really be, in God's eyes, our best. Those, I mean, which are least supported by devotional feeling. For these may come from a deeper level than feeling. God sometimes seems to speak to us most intimately when he catches us, as it were, off our guard. How many can identify with this? I can. Those prayers that don't seem like God is necessarily in them. It's kind of funny because we're talking to God, but sometimes we kind of feel there has to be an exalted feeling. Does anyone ever have that projection, like we have to feel a certain, like there needs to be music in the background, wind blowing in a certain sense, and a feeling of triumph, and then the prayer comes to God, and you know, there's these angels and synthesizers, and but prayer is really like, help, help. I remember this message by Pastor Shibeli. It was like a year and a half ago. It was the last time I was at Eurocon. It wasn't this past March, but the year before. And I was at Heathrow. Joyce Morley could relate to this. The immensity of Heathrow, right? I was buying a couple of souvenirs. And I suddenly saw this monitor, and it said something like 20 minutes to such and such gate. I thought all the gates were like right there. I said, oh my gosh, I'm not even near. My flight is leaving in like 3 minutes, and I'm trying to buy this little plastic, like, London phone booth. And I threw the souvenirs, and I ran to the wrong gate. I ran to my seat number. Like, I was in, let's say I was in seat 24C, so I ran to gate 24C, and the person's like, no, you need to be like gate 24C. And then that was like so far. And Pastor Shibeli's message was help. You know when Pastor Shibeli preaches a message and he has that thing that he just keeps saying? Well, that message that I had heard like a week before was help. And I'm like, I'm like plowing people over, going, help, 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 help. Because I knew I was going to miss my flight. And I was the last person on, and I was hyperventilating. But maybe it was glorious in the eyes of God, because I was just saying, help. Isn't that often what our prayers are? Like a person with a severe lust problem who just looks to heaven and says, help me. Just help me. That could be like overwhelmingly glorious in heaven's eyes. A Bible college student who's bored out of his mind in class and says, Lord, I'm not getting this, and I came here for a reason, and I really want to get this. Lord, you have to increase my capacity. I'm begging you. How could all of heaven not rejoice in such a prayer? Psalm 51, that's a broken prayer. That's got to be glorious in heaven's eyes. A father and mother who don't know how to speak to their children. When we have no capacity in an area, and we come to the Almighty God because we've been accepted by the blood of Jesus, and we ask for help, we come for mercy to get grace and help in time of need, how could God not honor these pleas, these requests? You know the verse in Philippians 4:6 where it says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. When I think of supplication, I think of the French word supplier, which is to plead. It's like pleadings, the pleadings of the heart. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, the song says. Oh, what needless, I think it's shame, pain we bear. Oh, what needless pain. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, praying at all times, lifting up holy hands, in everything. We take prayer so lightly at times. But prayer is our greatest weapon. As a missionary, it's our sharp, I think it's our sharpest means of fighting is prayer. And we often esteem it as the extra thing or the thing for the person who might not be able to do the other thing. But if prayer were the main thing, then I think the results would be more glorious and we would have a much better time doing what we do. If prayer were the main thing. Maybe we have our priorities off very often in ministry when we put prayer to the side. If prayer could be the main thing. Isn't it true? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things would be added. If prayer were the priority, and maybe activity were the accessory, maybe the results would be more glorious and we would be a lot more refreshed instead of the tedious toil with a prayer for God to bless it and not much results or phenomenal results, but carnal results. That's scary, isn't it? Like soulish results. Welcome to Jesus Fest 2018. It's awesome. And everyone's excited. But like if there wasn't much prayer, it could just be Soulfest 2018, and you know there won't be much silver and gold and precious stones on the day when we face Christ. It would have been completely natural. Prayer must come from the heart. It must come from the heart. I was interviewing. Excuse me. I think it's Mom again. Mom, I promise I'll call you back. I was interviewing some, not really interviewing, but talking with some Chinese and Korean young people at a young people's meeting in 2015 in the summer. Sorry, I should have just turned the volume down. Excuse me. And I was trying to find out about their devotional life. It was just a little youth meeting with Dan Dunbar. It was so much fun around a fire, campfire. And there was this one little boy who, he's homeschooled and he learns a great deal of scripture in Korean and English, like chapters from the Bible. And I was just trying to find out, you guys, how does each one of you do it? And I found out some of them weren't saved yet and they were just trying to figure it out. And some really had a devotional life, but this one little boy just kept saying, the heart, it's not getting into the heart. And what he was saying was, I have to learn all this scripture from my homeschool, but it's not happening. But prayer must come from the heart, mustn't it? It must come from the heart. It's such a delightful thing. How many can think of battles that have been won just by prayer? I can. I remember times of just anguish in my life, just falling on my knees or prostrate or just taking a walk, and God just coming through in ways that have blown my mind. But usually not when I expected it, because were the results to come too quickly, we would surely not give the credit to whom the credit should be due. I just heard on the radio someone saying that God gives us trials in proportion to our blessings, because if we only had blessing in our hands, we would fall over. So he puts trials on our backs to straighten us. I thought that's a great illustration. It seems like when we're in a spiritual battle or we're coming to God, we rarely feel right. Does that make sense? We rarely feel equipped and ready. And when I think of some of the greatest battles fought in my life, it's usually the week that some weird thing was happening, some family situation, or I was sick, or I think the Lord finds ways to put us in straits. Like to narrow. I think in Psalm 139 there's a portion where he says, You have beset me behind and before in the King James. You've hemmed me in. I think the Lord loves this. He kind of sets us apart and he's teaching us. So I hope these thoughts are encouraging. Once again, Psalm 69, verse 13. But as for me, be that as it may, I don't care what everyone else is doing, but as for me right now, my prayer is to you, Lord, in the acceptable time. And I have been made accepted because of the blood of Jesus. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, no merit of my own, in the multitude of your mercy, hear my prayer in the truth of your salvation. There's so much more to say, and we have no time left. But God is for us, and let's pray that he would lead us in prayer in this year as never before. And Ara, would you please pray this final prayer?
Lord, just thank you for your faithfulness to us in prayer and for Mark's diligence and the words shared. Just bury them deep in our hearts as our hearts are shed and your blood is there towards others, Lord. We all think of someone right now needs to be touched. Draw them to the convention. Use this time. And we just thank you in Christ's name for this time. Amen.
Amen. And just before we leave, is there maybe one or two questions?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, you know, the verses that say, like, ask and you shall receive, and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. How many times, like especially in the prosperity teaching, how many times do people pray, you know, expecting God to like give them something material rather than the spiritual things? If you understand what I'm trying to ask. Because it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, these things will be added to you. And then the other one that says, ask and you shall receive. How many times do people tend to pray for something in hopes of getting, like, that brand new Corvette or something like that?
That's a great question. And you know the verse that says we ask, but we sometimes ask amiss? That's what it makes me think of. We ask amiss, like we're missing the mark in what we're asking for. And there's the other verse that in Psalms that says, He granted their request, but what did He send to their souls? That's a scary thing. Lord, I want this. I want this so bad. I want this. Give me this. I need it. Lord, I need it. I really need it. And the Lord's like, okay, if you want it that bad, right? Like, Lord, I want this cobra. I want this cobra. This cobra is awesome. I need this cobra. It's an awesome cobra. Ah! Right? I mean, I'm not saying God wants to kill us all with cobras, but, you know, God isn't Santa, right? Yes, was that a question? And then Steve.
My big question is, how does the verbal... I have a big problem with spoken prayer, because it doesn't really seem to get to my heart. It seems that when I'm... Yeah, my own. Both, actually. I mean, when somebody else is praying, I'm okay because I'm listening with my heart. But I have a problem with the connection there somehow. I think when I pray verbally, I'm feeling, may feel good, and I may have emotions, and I may have a sense of connection, but I don't really get to, because my heart still has its own mind, it seems. It's actually aware of things other than what I'm actually saying. So the prayer... Silently.
Yeah.
Mark, I hear, and you know me in my walk, I'm learning, but I'm hearing, you know, of praying in times of need, praying in times of help, praying in times of, you know, when we desire something. But aren't there times when we pray just to say thank you, to glorify God, to be grateful for all your blessings, to be, you know, to be thankful for your grace and your mercy without asking for anything, but just to praise God.
That could be like 15 other sessions like this, and you would be based on that, really.
Because we can get so self-centered in prayer that the monarch, chief, you know, ruler of the universe is not glorified. That's why I think in that be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, which is often forgotten, can be such a problem. And that's why Paul said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I think it would be so good for our mental health. Like we would have incredible soundness if we thanked God more. If we, like that old song, count your blessings, name them one by one. I mean, it's incredible if we would spend more time thanking God than asking Him for stuff. That's an amazing comment, and we could talk about it so much more. It's praise. Let's see. We're almost done at a time. Oh, I can't take it. Just a second.
Just really quick, I think it's really important, like, in the beginning when I rededicated myself to God and I restarted my walk, you know, and I was going through trials, someone in the church constantly told me, you have to thank God in everything, in every moment. But everything means everything. It's not just when you get what you want. It's not just when you get what you need, but when you don't. You know, when God takes things from you and you say thank you. When you have a problem in your house and you say thank you. When you lose your job and you say thank you. Because in those things, God is going to teach you something. And the blessing that comes before that is more important than your loss.
That's phenomenal. Like a half an hour thank you session during the day could be awesome. Like let's say practically, you work or you're home, you have a lunch break, eat in 10 minutes, and take 20 minutes just to thank God for just, and not only thanking Him for things, but just praising Him for who He is. Could be phenomenal. There was someone back here read, sorry.
I know this could open up a whole another session, but the importance of the Holy Spirit doing the utterances that we don't know what to say, but God can see our heart, and through the Holy Spirit, it makes utterances to God. That's the purpose of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit.
Right, and that's, what was that Mother Teresa quote? Someone asked her, "How do you pray?" And she said, "I listen to God." And then they said, "Well, what does He say?" And she said, "He listens." Like sometimes prayer could be sometimes without words necessarily. Sometimes it's like this longing to be with Him, and we're at wit's end. I mean, we're not at wit's end, but it's just a longing to be with God. And prayer could be just like, in sometimes prayer could just be like, I don't know, I'm just thinking of this image, like curled up in a chair, like, "Lord, I just," and then we don't say much more. Or not even, "Lord, I just, "Lord, Lord." Ty.
What God asks us to do, He empowers us to do. He said to pray without ceasing. Prayer is having a conversation with God. God's language is truth. God is, the exchange life takes place in prayer. We exchange our natural minds for the mind of Christ. That's my 20 seconds. But the whole idea is that there's no one more exciting than God. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's always with us. And He's always speaking to us. And when we understand truth, we can hear Him. And that's what makes it excitement. The joy of the Lord is knowing that the God's promises are faithful. And He's faithful all the time. So how can you not pray? I think about the throne of grace and how it's always open and out. When you're in the military, you understand.
7 seconds.
I cut it the same. When you're in the military, you understand the importance of communication. And as a Christian in a body, you have one spirit, many manifestations. And when that spirit is in office and we're praying, we're exchanging our mind for the mind of Christ, and we have harmony with one another and God.
Key word, exchange. Oh, yes.
I have a comment. I'm 10 minutes. 10 minutes.
Well, we're already 5 minutes over time.
No, I'm Amy from Austria, and I want to encourage you all. I'm from a Muslim background, and when we prayed, yeah, we were praying like, you know, 5 times, and you have to bow down to stand up and everything, and always you are listening to the people who say, "Oh, you did a mistake. Allah don't accept your prayer." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, how can I pray to Allah that He accept my prayer?" But we can be happy because God is accepting every prayer. And standing, lying, walking, you know. And so I want to tell you, be happy that you are in Christ.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Oh, this is a very easy question. You've whetted our appetite on the subject of prayer. So, Pastor Mark, when will we begin having classes with you on prayer?
I don't know, but that's a good question. I don't have the answer of that or to that, but that is an excellent question.
God told me I talk too much to Him. So God has like ordered my prayer life so that I have times of intercessory prayer, because I love praying for other people more than praying for myself. So I've learned to separate it out at different times. I'll go for a prayer walk or, you know, it might be in the house or somewhere else that I am. Mostly it's walking, but then a whole separate time of Thanksgiving, and it seems like I experience something different, more life. I don't know what would be a good word. And so when I'm thanking God, it's like a whole nother realm he brings me to. If I'm intercessing for other people, that's a whole nother time. And the best time is when I don't say anything and I just listen to him. And it's amazing how much he can talk to me when Elizabeth is quiet for longer periods of time and I actually wait to hear what he has to say. He might not say it. I'm looking at my clock or something. He might say it in half an hour, but what he says is so huge.
Thank you, Elizabeth. And I have to call my mother, so God bless you all. Thank you for coming.